Let's pray together. May your living word be spoken. May our waiting minds and hearts and lives receive. May it make a difference for our sakes and for the sake of your word. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't think everybody here is old enough to know about blue laws. Blue laws are regulations stating what has to be shut down on Sundays. The best known is the shutting down of alcohol sales on Sundays, still a thing in some states. But there used to be others. Businesses having to be closed. Certain entertainments forbidden on Sundays. The most famous and effective for clamping down things on Sunday were the 17th century Puritans in colonial New England. Everybody was required to attend church not once but twice every Sunday. If you didn't go, you were fined, and if you didn't go often, you were put in jail. But some of what was forbidden was truly bizarre. A maidservant in Boston was put in the stocks for smiling on Sunday. And in 1656, a ship sailed into Boston Harbor on a Sunday, and a sailor, home at last after a 3-year voyage, was put into the stocks for kissing his wife. Hope it was worth it. You recall the stocks, a framework of boards for locking up the hands, the feet, sometimes the neck, designed to shame someone in public, and in these cases, all for a kiss or a smile on the Lord's Day. And you wonder why this country is messed up. Some version of such Puritan behavior will always be with us. The condescending judgment, looking down its nose, condemning somebody's legitimate freedom, making up more rules than are needed, out of a need to control, to accuse, to impose little nitpicking purity tests. Politically, socially, religiously, this can be practiced on the right or on the left. More than that, it is a spiritual and psychological thing, this weird internal mechanism of shutting down our truest freedom and opting to be joyless and passing it on. This is why so many people in Jesus' time didn't much care for him. This man was too joyous. Irrepressibly free, and was given to empowering other people to their own truest freedom. Case in point. Once on a Sabbath day, his disciples go walking through a field of grain, and being hungry, they pluck off some of the heads of grain and eat them. That was permitted. The Bible book of Deuteronomy, believe it or not, actually says you can go through somebody else's grain field and pluck some grain for yourself, so long as you just use your hands and not a sickle, so you don't take too much. That's a law of provision for the poor, and it sounds pretty good to me. Problem was, this happened on the Sabbath. And someone had decided that plucking grain, even with the hand, was an act of harvest, and harvest is illegal on the Sabbath. So the purity police say to Jesus, "Why do your people break God's law?" Good heavens. His answer is simple and it's beautiful. The Sabbath was made for people. People were not made for the Sabbath. In other words, you nitwits. This day is a gift. Don't you get that? This is a gift of time for rest, for freedom, for relationship and community, for listening, for love, for gratefulness and prayer and praise and the renewal of life. And you have somehow managed to take a beautiful gift and make it a burden. You twisted a freedom into a tyranny. Now, those guys are pretty easy targets for people like us. Boo, hiss. But are we really so different in this much at least? We are given great gifts and we corrupt them. God has blessed us with possibilities for magnificent freedom, for deep joy. But we chose instead to be enslaved and to be just fine with the enslavement of others. Though the focus of these stories in our text today is particularly on the gift of Sabbath, the truth is that these stories apply to the gift of time itself. What are our days really for? For the living of our truest freedom, for love and the renewal of life, for community, relationship, for listening, for prayer and songs of praise. With such priceless gifts every day within our reach, how many are the ways we find to put ourselves into the stock? And we sit on a landscape filled with people who've been fixed and kept in the stocks, not free as God made them and God made us to be. We accomplish this by our own self-involvement, by our greed, ungratefulness, and indifference, and also by our fears. And yet all around us, and even within us, all these exquisite gifts not claimed, not shared. And yet every day, every single day, is a brand new chance to do otherwise. So another Jesus story about the Sabbath. This time, the hour of worship has come, and everybody's in the synagogue. Let us say that they are all in church. And in the congregation is a man with a withered hand. His hand is somehow paralyzed. Maybe a stroke has happened, or maybe an accident, or a defect of birth. The hand is unusable, and the man is probably a peasant and must work, but now he cannot. Now, as everybody knew, Jesus was a healer, and here was someone who needed a working hand, and the good news is the law said healing on the Sabbath is just fine. Only the bad news was healing was fine only if it was a life and death case. If not, put it off till tomorrow. So the purity police in the room are keeping watch, hoping, I think, that Jesus would heal the man so they could accuse him. Surely some disciple of his is thinking, oh, Jesus, please spare us some conflict just once. Make an appointment and heal him tomorrow. Not him. He says to the man, step forward, please, so everyone can see you. And Jesus says to his opponents, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To make life whole or to kill? Why does he include the part that asks, is it lawful to do harm, lawful to kill? Nobody was asking or wondering about that. But here's what he meant. If we choose not to do good on this day, then on this day, what we're doing is harm. And if we're not offering wholeness to people right now, then what we're doing right now is depriving them of their life. Which will it be? And those good and decent church folk had nothing to say. They just keep watching, waiting for what he will do. And it made him angry. The text says that when those people were silent on the subject of making people whole on that day, Jesus swept his eyes across the room with anger. And also that he grieved at how hardened their hearts had become, how obstinate and closed-minded. Elevating regulation over compassion, which makes him angry and breaks his heart. So now he looks at the man, and with a different kind of light in his eyes, he says, stretch out your hand. And he does. And there it was, his freedom, his life, his wholeness. I used to wonder if Jesus did so many healings on the Sabbath just to stick it to his critics. I think better of it now. I think Jesus healed so often on the Sabbath because it was a day for freedom and for life and for becoming whole. He was just doing what the day wanted to be done. But Sabbath is a larger canvas for what every day wants to look like. A day of freedom. Every day. Every day, renewal of life, relationship, community, prayer, praise, stretching out our hands for wholeness, and extending the blessing of wholeness to others. By the mercies of God, that's what this very day is for you and for me. And by the mercies of God, you and I can choose this very day to take the gift and resolve that we will share it.